Hello, welcome to the first episode of Ball Tales. Thanks for listening, thanks for making it this far. You made it past the jingle, which sounds like an advert for a bank, so well done on getting to here. The show's about football. Over the coming weeks I'll be talking to comedians about their formative football experiences, jumpers for goalposts, school teams, Sunday league, all that stuff. I'll be finding out how their varying football careers have shaped them as people, so yeah, tune in for that, guys. My guest this week is James Dunn. You may know James Dunn as the unofficial mayor of Newport. You may know him as the official mayor of Newport. Depends on what he's telling you. He's a lover of dogs, flannel shirts and warm hearts. He's a stand-up comedian. He's been telling jokes, making friends all over Wales and beyond for 5 years now. He was kind enough to join me for a chat. Here it is. Okay. I'm here with James Dunn. Hello, James Dunn.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How's your day been?
It's been alright, actually. It's not bad. I lost you this morning.
Yeah. We're housemates, I should say that.
Yeah. I don't mean metaphorically, I mean literally lost you.
Yeah.
Because you were out playing football, and I forgot you said that.
Yeah.
And football is what we're talking about today.
Well, it
just
is.
Doing your job, mate.
That's good. Cheers, mate. That's a seamless segue.
No, you're nervous. The first episode, so I thought, yeah. I'll help you out.
Well, we don't know that yet. I mean, I might funnel you in episode 4 if it's not.
Could this be the last episode then? Like, the eventual fans will, like, talk about an internet forum.
Yeah, exactly. Like... I mean, if I get a big guest in, you know, like episode 1, I might get someone famous.
Well, don't undersell the guests on your podcast, Ken.
Yeah, I know, I'm maybe getting ahead of myself. We're here to talk about football, but not like current football. I'm not interested in that, not the FA Cup or any of the Euros or anything. We're talking about childhood football, when it really mattered, when it was good.
When it was real.
The glory days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to know, basically I'm just trying to get sort of different people on to talk about their childhood football experiences. What got them into football, you know, where they played, were they any good? Did they ever play with anyone famous, maybe? I don't know, we could get some stories out of this. How did you get into football, Dunn?
I was thinking about this strangely before, when I knew I was doing this podcast.
20 minutes before.
20 minutes before, when I walked to get a sandwich before the show. A lovely little chicken tikka, I'll let you know. It was really weird for me getting into football because I had zero interest in football. Like, when I was 5...
Yeah.
From the ages of birth to 10 years old.
Why did you say 5 then? 4 and 6 big football years.
Just rounded into a middle number. I had no interest in football at all. Like, really, like, no interest. And then, like, in year 6 in primary school, I just decided, like, okay, this is the year I get into football. I remember it, like, really, like, I was like, I'm going to get into football.
But why? Just consciously? Was it, like, your mates into football?
I think it must have been a bit of that.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 things. I think, one, it was, like, all the cool kids in school were into football.
Yeah.
And I think it, like, at the time I was getting rugby a lot with my dad.
All right.
You know when you kind of want to emulate your dad?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a football fan, so I was like, right, I want to be like my dad, I want to get into football.
Yeah,
I think it was the accumulation of those 2 things. And then, like, yeah, I just decided I'm going to become a football fan. And I was like, my dad supports Liverpool, I'll support Liverpool. Like, this is going to have no ramifications in the future. Off we go.
Yeah, it's very similar to me. Yeah, my dad supports Arsenal, really wanted me to support Arsenal. It took about... 11 years of life. I didn't really get into it till 11, 12 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is quite late, I reckon. But
it's quite like, I mean, in fairness, I didn't miss much in terms of like mid-90s Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. Fairness, I got into it at the right time, in fairness, like to look at Liverpool history. But was it like for you? Was it just like...
Yeah, like, the 98 World Cup was a big thing for people our sort of age.
Yeah.
I'd never watched that.
No, same.
So I was way well too late.
But it was like... But it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't like I watched one game of football or like that. I just decided I'm going to get into football. Was that like gear for you? Did you just go, I'm going to get into football?
I think I just started watching games with my dad just as a...
And you gradually,
bonding exercise, yeah. And then it was like, oh, this is what I'm obsessed with now. And it's, yeah, still trying to kick it. Still trying to get rid of it. Do you remember, like, the first game of football you played? Like, or like in terms of either on a playground or part of it. What was the first team you played for? I guess that's the...
I remember playing in primary school and absolutely panicking.
Yeah.
I remember I used to play really, like, when I was, like, 6 or 7. Again, this one I had no interest in football.
So this is, like, school, like, PE or, like, yeah, after school?
Like games and all that kind of thing. Like, PE would be, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember...
Where was school? Newport?
Newport, yeah. St. Mary's Primary School.
What was the standard like?
Oh, very poor. incredibly poor. If we were on the FIFA rankings, we wouldn't be on them as a nomination. And so I started primary first school, and then I was like goalkeeper. I just had no idea what I was doing. I think in your... it was year 5 I got into football? No, at some point when I got into football, it was like, I then decided I want to join a football team as well. Like, I kind of, like, I really went into it. Like, I really committed to, like, football. Yeah. Like, sudden this life change.
I like that. I like that you, for some reason, just honed in on it. I guess.
Just went all in. Like, got the kit.
What kit did you have?
It was the Reebok one. You don't get Reebok kits anymore.
Reebok, like Liverpool Reebok.
Yeah, it was like 2002, 2003. So it was like that one.
Oh, yeah.
Where we had, like, it was like
great. Carlsberg,
it was like Reebok was at the top, and then the Liverpool badge was in the centre.
Yeah.
And it was then Carlsberg. It's the one we won the League Cup with. And it's, well, the one associated with El Hadj Diouf. Because that's the only kit he wore with us. I love that. Like, of all the players, El Hadj Diouf is zero. Like, he's the biggest memory I've got is El Hadj Diouf.
I was just weird thinking of, like, little James Dunn running about with, like, Carlsberg written on. That's weird, isn't it? That, like, because loads of kids. Yeah, it's like, weird to think that.
I mean, yeah, that stuff doesn't get into putting the ramifications of it, really, does it? Like,
Okay,
I generally don't think I figured out Carlsberg was until.
Carl. Who's Carl?
I thought it was like generally just like a statement, like some kind of Latin motto. Like, to believe.
I suppose it's got the font, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Suggests that it's like. God.
But it was like. Sorry, to go back to the question. So, year 6 then, it was like. I can't remember what made me decide to join the team, but it was like I wanted to join a football team. I think I was talking to one kid in my year. He was like, "Oh, join my team." So I joined the Crinder Corries.
The Crinder Corries.
Well, the Crinder Corinthians, but like
Crinder Corinthians. That was the name of your first team.
Yeah, the Crinder. Crinder's like a part of like it's like an area in Newport and Corinthians.
You sure it's not a Latin motto or
no, alcoholic beer? It's the Crinder Corinthians. The Crinder Corries is informally known.
Corries.
The Crinder Corries.
That says so much that it was. It's like this sort of quite.
Actually, you know what? I don't think it was the Corinthians. I think it was the Crinder Corries.
So what does Corries mean?
I'm trying to think of it now. Because surely that means it's the Crinder...
As in the soap.
Yeah. but surely Corries would be a...
That's so catchy. Crinder Corries.
The Crinder Corries. It's a good team though, isn't it?
Yeah. So where did you play?
It was... Well, strangely, like, all my football takes place from my primary school. Because we practiced and played on the field behind my school. Which is... Which was like in a car park full of where like drunks used to drink and all that. So it was like just smashed glass like everywhere. Like, my dad had to like drive from this car park. It was like just a massive like, must have been something built on it. It was like the flattest field in Newport.
So it is a field? Because you made it sound like it was a fucking concrete jungle.
I know what it was. It was like a field in a concrete jungle.
Where you just little kids are running around with Carlsberg on their shirts playing football.
It's like, you know, like you see that picture of like New York and you get like Central Park. It's like this massive green haven. Imagine that in front of like a building, like industrial estate. Oh, it's perfect green.
You need to be on their tourist board.
That's true. So I trained there. I'm trying to think how many seasons I played for the Corries. I think I played.
So this is like not a school team. This is
outside
like
school
sort of extracurricular.
We didn't have an in school football team.
No.
No, I don't know what it was. It was Catholic, so they did nothing.
The Catholics don't like football.
No, Catholics don't get anything that takes away from Jesus. Like, no rugby, no football. Like,
oh, man.
It's like, no, we didn't have it. It was strange. We didn't have an outside football team.
I've got a friend who still now plays for, like, plays in the church leagues. And I'm going to try and get him on this and talk to him about... There's some vicious stuff that goes on.
That'd be amazing.
It's not as wholesome as they'd like to believe.
Is it like South Wales. Is that like churchgoers? Or is that like actually the priests? Like, like do they still have to wear the collars? Bishops in gold.
Yeah. Bishops for goalposts,
Bishop for gold. The hat. I want you to stop this podcast if you record that.
I can interrupt it now. Maybe I'll just like sort of jump cut edit it in and we won't hear any more from you.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But no, it was so I played for the Corinda Corries. I'm trying to think now. I think I joined in the pre-season.
Yeah.
How
old are you now, just to clarify? Like,
I'm 23.
I mean, at the time.
Oh, right.
Sorry. That's good to know. You're 23 now. So that means, how old were you when you were playing for the Corinda Corries? Like, when you joined?
I must have been about 9 or 10.
Okay.
Nine or 10, I think it was.
Yeah.
I played 2 games, and then I had a career-threatening injury.
What?
Appendicitis.
Oh my god.
I had appendicitis.
Wait, did you get that on the pitch?
No, probably.
Players down. In a
paddling pool in my backyard.
Jesus. Oh my god.
And a bit of a dicky tummy, and then
appendicitis,
which I like to think. It was funny though, because I kind of like, I appendicitis, and it was like when the season began, so I had appendicitis, so obviously you can't play. And my mum was like, I probably could have played not that long after I came back from hospital, but my mum was like so protective.
Right.
It was like, no, you're waiting like a month. And then like, so I'd go train and do a bit of like, you know, like, yeah.
Hitting the gym at 9 years old, just trying to get back to, yeah, coming back stronger.
Physio, yeah. Like, physio, like massaging, like yeah, appendix, yeah, scar. Like that. And it's, but yeah, I remember like going to games and like I'd wear my tracksuit, stand at the side and watch, because my mates played, because I went with two of my mates, Mike Hawkins and Lawrence Jones. We joined, we were just all nerds, so we were the only friends in our team.
That's cool. Yeah, that's like important about how you get into the team.
Yeah,
like, I did a lot of standing on the side and watching, but that's mainly because I was a sub.
Like, oh god, yeah, that will come later in the podcast, my incredible sub bench career. But I sat at the side. I like to think, because I couldn't used to watch him games, and like in my head, because I don't know whether you had this, but it was like, it was a bigger deal to me then. I used to like to imagine I was an actual footballer. I like to imagine, like, I stood on the sidelines, and if the game was being filmed, it cut to me and go, James Dunn there, recovering from an appendicitis injury.
Just sitting there, like at board level. Yeah. Just like...
like a player would just walk up again into the shot.
Yeah. Were you in a suit?
Loud full tracksuit, man.
Yeah, full tracksuit.
Boots. I think just
good. Yeah, just in case.
Just in case, you never know. It's,
yeah. Has anyone got appendicitis? Yes, me. You're right.
Perfect.
There. My chance to shine.
So I think I was out for a month or a bit, and then I came back. And then it kind of didn't happen.
Were you never the same as before you had... How soon did you have appendicitis into your career? Is this before you played a game?
I think I played 2 games. One against Real Betis and...
Sorry, what?
What are they doing against
the Corries?
Yeah, so there's the Liga side Real Betis, and there's an area in Newport called Betis. So they're called Real Betis.
Oh, okay, to make sure that
it's the best pun work in a in a town league. Wow. I think I played against them. Marshfield. Played against Marshfield.
So you played against Marshfield?
Marshfield. I played those two games.
I've heard of these places, but...
Yeah, this is a lot of Newport geography in this podcast.
Was it, like, sort of rough in terms of, like, how...
Marshfield was quite posh area. Marshfield's, like, kind of in...
What are the kids like? Because I remember playing teams where, like, all the kids had come from broken homes.
There's, like, proper, like... Yeah, like, I miss those teams. Newport's got those teams. It's like the Pill, is like Pill AFC is the main one. Like most of my mates play for Pill AFC, and like they like had some fucking horror stories about their games. Yeah, like proper just like pure like my mate Liam Bird, he used to play like football. I reckon I used to play a guy like Liam Bird's my best mate, but he had major anger issues, and like everyone had major anger issues in that team, and like they did 2-foot tackles everywhere. Like, missed all them because obviously I was like with appendicitis,
so
I was recovering.
You were there being the sort of, maybe you were the one calming them all down.
I was the Roy Hodgson. I got made the captain of my rugby team. I know this is like a completely different thing. I got made the captain of my rugby team when I was 15. Because I was the only one who didn't fight. That's actually a true story.
That's brilliant.
How
did that feel? Like, you're now a leader of men.
I feel like I got into false pretenses. it was quite nice. But like, I played 2 games and I had appendicitis. And I think I then played... I got one clear memory. I remember my comeback game.
Yeah.
I remember my comeback game. My comeback game is probably the most memorable game I've ever played for.
Alright, let's go in hard on this then. Let's go into detail. Okay. So, the Corries, just to clarify, 11-a-side?
This was, what's the one before? I think it was like
7-a-side?
7-a-side, I think.
We're talking 7-a-side, so sort of smaller goals.
Yeah, smaller goals, smaller pitch.
Bigger pressure, bigger stakes.
Small goals, big stakes. That's the official advertising for the Newport under 10 league. Yeah, so it was against... Who was it against? God, I can't remember who was against at all. I remember Purple Kits, but
okay. Like I don't remember hardly any of the names of the teams I played against. I remember like what they looked like.
It's a bit sad that this is like my most memorable game and I can't remember half of it. Though. It's like...
So when did you know... At that level, like, do all the players play all the time? Or, like, do you have, like, you got a squad? How does it work?
Yeah, it was, like, an A and a B side.
Okay.
It's like, that kind of thing. And it was, like, before... Like, not this... Like, in fairness, I agree with this. It's not me just kind of, like, oh, you can't say it now. But this is before, like, pure, like, oh, you can't call the kid shit or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, now it's probably, like red or blue squad. Like,
I see, right.
I was in B team, which is the shit team.
I've been in the B team.
Do you know what I mean? And it was, like, back then when it was, like, no, this is the shit team. So, like, oh, this is the... They're all equal. It's like, no, you're the shit.
Call them good team, shit team. Yeah. Then they went to A and B, and then it was apples and oranges.
Yeah, that's it. Joey, it's like, now it's like...
Yeah, we had the Dunvon in Swansea, where I played football. It was the Dunvon Rovers and the Dunvon Jets. And
the Dunvon Jets!
And the Jets were the good ones. The Jets were the ones who, like...
Sorry, what franchise were they bought from?
Yeah, I don't know. But they had all the best players in the school, and then basically all my mates and, you know, and some crap players as well who weren't my mates played for the Rovers. Yeah.
Oh god, no.
But you could, your comeback game.
So I was on the bench first because obviously, you know, I'm not a full match fitness yet.
It would be irresponsible. They don't want to nurse you back to health.
Oh yeah, don't. It was I think, oh god, I can't remember the score. Like, again, this is like kind of it. I came on...
Your most memorable game. Who was it against? Oh, I don't know, mate. What was the score? No, don't ask me.
I know, because I can tell you why I remember it. Because I got substituted on, and I was a defender, obviously. Like, you know, quite a stocky.
Why obviously?
Oh, because I was a chubby little shit.
Like, the podcast listeners don't know that.
I don't think they're imagining, like...
I don't know, I think you've shattered all their illusions. I could have been like picturing some Adonis speaking to me.
Like, I was defender and
whereabouts? Where in the
I played it was like two defenders, because it's seven.
Yeah, of course.
We played two defenders, I was the left hand side defender, even though I'm right footed. Which I felt was very
very
against me. felt like it was very hard to do, and it's I think they hoofed the ball down. Yeah. Something like that. I was a missed kick or something. The ball came in front of me.
Yeah.
And there was a striker running onto me. And I remember playing this day. And I panicked. Because the thing is with me, like, and it, like, I was never good at it. I was never, like, I'm still not good at football to this day. Like, it's one that, like, I heard someone off a podcast say this. And it's the truest thing. Like, the saddest moment in your childhood is when you first kick a football and it doesn't go the way you want it to. And it's like...
Still hasn't happened for me, mate. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, no. It's scary. Yeah, no, it's like...
I'm joking. I'm really good.
And it's like... And the ball came towards me. And I was like, fuck, if I don't hit this, they're going to score and all this.
Oh, man.
And I just hoofed it. Like, the most British English. Just hoofed to kick the shit out of the ball. And I think it's like this... sweetest touch I've ever had in a football.
Yeah.
It went all over, like, the fucking 10-year-old ten. I was going to say, all over the head, like, the 6'7" monsters, like, all, like, under 5 foot. And it went to our top striker, Ashley Tillier. And he scored. So, an assist for old Duddy from the back.
On the comeback.
On the comeback. And I think then I missed, like, 3 tackles and they scored 2 goals.
we'll edit that out. I mean, it's a hero's tale.
But that was it. And it was, like, that was my only contribution to football was one assist goal in the Newport under 10 leagues for the Grindr Corries.
That's beautiful.
It was, like, and it was just pure. I remember getting this great sense of, like, I made that. Yeah. And I was like really proud of that goal.
Like it's pottery or something.
Yeah, it's like I feel like that's how like Van Gogh like felt when he painted like his bedroom. Like I made this. Like
yeah.
I saw the ball fly for the air, and then Ashley Tillier did way more impressive stuff with it, smacking the goal. I was like, I made that.
Yeah.
You can do that because of me.
That's great. The architect.
It must have how Michel Platini must have felt in his heyday. I like to think.
Yeah, I think
like you must have seen the goal. God, I made that. And then that was it really. Then I kind of like I think I got frustrated with it.
Yeah,
I think I just got frustrated with it, and it just wasn't like
the thing I remember falling out of love with it was just because I played till about under 14s under 15s level maybe, and then like my club folded with all my mates in. I wasn't going to go join another club, but it's mainly because people started becoming fit, and you like then you had to be physically fit to play, and I was done then. I was like, I'm not interested in this.
I think that's really kind of got. I think I'm one of those people who's like, if I'm not good at it, I'll walk away. It's like the worst characteristic I've got. it's like I'm not good at this, and people will go to me, but James, if you put effort in a try, you can get and I just walk away.
I mean, you didn't have to do it in the middle of a match. I mean, I was like Sol Campbell, just leave it.
Just like keep walking. Put my jacket over my shoulder. God, that's a ballsy 9-year-old. It's like I'm trying to remember why I quit. I think it was a bit frustration. I think it was like,
it's cool that you were like frustrated at that age. Like you say, you went sort of hard getting into football. You'd be like, I'm into football now. And then when it doesn't
But it was like, say, at that age though, it's like when I was like going to football, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a footballer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be really good at it. I'm just going to be really cool. And like, because like, I've always had a wild imagination.
Yeah.
So like when I was like 9, I was like already imagining playing for Liverpool.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Like who was your favourite player? Like while you're playing for the Corries, like who was your sort of idol? Obviously, you're a defender. So did you look at their defenders and go like, that's me?
Strangely, I think it was Milan Baroš.
Oh wow! Yeah.
I think it was Milan Baroš or something like that. I don't think it was necessarily. Or it was like Dietmar Hamann, Danny Murphy. No, Danny Murphy was my favourite player. My first love was Danny Murphy.
He's a heartbreaker, that
Murphy. that man from Crew, he broke that he hurts. Yeah, it was, I didn't really idolise. I also like Marcus Babbel, because I think I like the look of his sticker.
Was he the guy that did the slide tackle into the posts?
No, that was Phil Babb.
Oh, Phil Babb.
That's a different
man.
A different man. No, Marcus Babbel was the one. I think I felt he's the one. He was a German defender right back. We signed him in the treble season. Then he had that like really weird illness.
Right.
That like cut off like an entire season.
So that's why you looked up to him.
Yeah, appendicitis.
Me and him.
He had like a neuron like dysfunction, nearly lost like control of all his arms and legs.
And you thought that'll be me one day.
And I just can't eat grass. I think they're really similar.
That's good.
It was like, I think, yeah, like I kind of went into it, like imagining it, and then I think the reality kind of hit in. And plus, as well, my manager hated me.
Your manager hated you.
Yeah, my manager.
Who's your manager? Because was it someone's dad? Because that's how it works.
Yeah, it was. Right? It was the second goal. It was that's a good goalkeeper's dad.
So the second goal. So was his son playing in the team?
Yeah.
Even though he was worse.
He was not a good goalkeeper. Oh. Like, we had a better goalkeeper. But he was in the B team with us. He knew his place. I think his dad probably broke it to him.
Right.
Because I remember talking about, the thing is though, like, again, my memory's really shady at this, but my mate, I had a chat with my mate a few years back about the Cunha Corries.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, I thought he didn't mind me, but my mate was like, no, you used to piss him off all the time. I was like, what'd you do? And he reminded me of this one thing, and...
Sorry, you used to piss him off?
I used to piss him off.
Right, okay.
And because he was like... My mate explained this to me, and the thing is though, I've got no memory of it, but it does sound like something I would do. And it was like in training, it was like we were doing like passing exercises where it was like pass the ball, take a touch, dribble, touch the ball. I think it was like dribble, so like play with dribble to one cone.
Just the podcast people can't see your hands done.
Okay, sorry. So my one hand to the left of me, I've got another hand to the right, and now I'm bringing the left hand over to the right hand.
And then, so it's dribbling in that direction. I'm going to get you to draw a diagram.
So it's like, yeah, appendix, just like,
imagine a helix.
See JPEG.
Yeah.
It was like two cones either side each other, and like you just dribble one cone, take the ball, dribble back to the other, like that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. So it's a standard drill.
Standard dribbling drill. And apparently what would happen is when I dribbled, I'd lose total control of the ball. But when I got to the other side, I'd like, you know when you do barn dancing where you attach like a ring of hand and go da 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 da. Apparently I was doing that. And my mate was like, Paul didn't say anything to you, but he was looking at me with you with dead eyes. And I was like, I know maybe this, but this is something I would do.
So you basically shambolically dribble your way, struggle your way across the pitch, and then celebrate it.
Yeah.
And the manager didn't like this.
Not professional, I don't think. Not professional as Danny Murphy, as I like to think. It's, yeah, but I think I quit that year. I think it was like only a fleeting season. I think.
I think it was
I did one football tournament. I think that was it then. Like one of those all day tournaments.
Oh yeah.
We didn't get. I think we lost every game.
Yeah.
I think we lost the cup game, and then we lost like a replay game, a playoff game, and then we just lost the game they gave to us just for us to play a game.
That was the one team you played for then, that was the one coach. Did you ever change coaches, or was it just...
No, it was him.
It's just him the whole way.
Him the whole way, Paul and the Quinda Corries. I don't know if the Corries are still around anymore.
Oh yeah,
I think, I don't know where the... I should probably check them up. Because I'm probably on the Illuminati on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, what if they like, had the same manager? That would be weird. Like, he's just there.
He just worked his way up.
Yeah. Or maybe his son is now, the crappy goalkeeper is now... Yeah.
Oh God.
And it's nice to think, it's complete bollocks. But it's nice to imagine that that's true.
Like, you grew up to be a manager for a frustrating under-10s football team at Newport.
Pushing those kids.
That's like a really, like, British indie film, isn't it?
Yeah,
story. God, no, and then, I think that was it then in terms of, like, football career. Like, I used to play a lot then, just in school, playground then, like, nothing professional, like.
Yeah, so that's where it ended for you, that's why you're not a pro. That's what went wrong, essentially.
Yeah, I just like barn dancing too much. Really.
Yeah.
I think
when I do my barn dancing podcast, I'll get you on that. When we talk about our childhood barn dancing moments.
What was the point when you realised you would be a professional barn dancer? Too much football involved.
Yeah.
It's I became a bit of an urban legend in Owen Games lessons.
A bit of an urban legend.
Because basically, because what happened then? What happened in high school then? When I became. Because I still like was not good at football in high school. It didn't get better. Like, a bit better. Do you know what I mean like?
Yeah.
I kind of clocked a few things. But then what would happen then? Because I was built for. I was like so in rugby mode. Like I'd try and do things I did in rugby and bring them into football in five-a-side games. And it was
like
then
a scrum.
Oh, yeah. Pick up the ball in front of it.
Yeah.
Like what? I tell you what, I became really good at. Was dribbling really fun. Like I probably from this barn dance
thing. Yeah. Like, if I just get to the end of this pitch, like, what I could I'll do, have a great dance.
What I it's what all the great wingers think.
Yeah. It's like Stanley Matthews. only ever wanted to get to that barn. Great barn in the sky.
Oh, can we never jig later? While he's smoking a cigarette. It's like what I got the ability to do really well was to pick up the ball. Run forward,
yeah,
and because I was quite, I used to have a bit of pace on me, so I could get past a few people,
yeah,
and like because I had like a bit of the upper strength, like I could like hold people off, say,
yeah.
However, what I couldn't do was when I got to the other side of the pitch, do anything. So what would happen was I'd run with the ball, and a player who's better at football would run alongside me.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got to the point where, like, I'm fucked, I'd just pass it to him.
Oh, I see, yeah. It's when it's decision time. Yeah. It's like, well, now I've actually got to make some sort of tangible impact.
Yeah, a bit like Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
Sean
Wright Phillips was great because he just never had the ball under control in his entire career.
He just looked like he was constantly losing it.
Yeah.
I actually, what was it? Yeah, and I used to, I think I got called the train.
The Train.
I think they used to say The Train.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to get everyone's football nicknames. The Train is strong.
I used to be The Train, I think. I think when I ran, I used to shout Choo Choo sometimes.
Was this a nickname that you forced upon others? No, I'm going to be called The Train.
One person called me it, and then I ran with it. Both ball and nickname.
Like a train.
Choo Choo.
Oh my goodness.
Got it, and then that was kind of it then for football. I didn't really, achieve much of football. It's quite.
But you've talked about your greatest football achievement. Was that assist?
Yeah.
That assist sounds like a lovely moment that you made.
I think the last thing I did was when we did, like, the comedians in Cardiff got together and did a football tournament once.
Yeah.
For the Comedy Festival, and that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Not in terms of jokes, just like really physically unfit.
Right, okay, yeah.
And like, it was just like, oh, God, that was amazing. I remember my mate, because I used to play with a guy, again, like Liam Bird, I mentioned him before, like, I remember me and him went for a kickabout, and I was like, oh, so I was touch up my skills and all this.
Mm.
And like, we used to do a bit of passing, and he was like, so you can't run, you can't move that quick, however, you're right at passing. So you're a bit like Charlie Adam. Oh. And I was like,
oh, that's like, I mean, between Danny Murphy and Charlie Adam, they are worlds apart, really.
There's a deep chasm in talent there.
Yeah, yeah.
With no offence, just like all offence to Charlie Adam.
Although Charlie Adam might be a better pundit, so.
He's just an angry Scottish man, isn't he, really?
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, I shouldn't have said that, really, if Danny Murphy's your idol.
Yeah, shouldn't really slag him off.
Right. I've got some quick questions. I've only written two of them.
Oh!
But there's some quick ones. Halftime oranges, yes or no?
I'm into them. I dig them.
Yeah?
Also, I like the substitute of a Jaffa cake, which apparently does the same thing.
A Jaffa cake at halftime?
It's what Man United used to do under Ferguson.
Oh, they got results, didn't
they?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I think Jaffa cakes are, I'd say, yes to an orange. However, if you don't like the dryness you can sometimes get out in orange, a suitable suggestion for Jaffa cake. That's what I'd advise.
Isn't orange fruit? That's sort of blown my mind a bit. Surely, with dryness of an orange against...
Yeah, like when you eat an orange and it's like, you get a sudden rush of juice and then when you suck it...
Yeah, that's not
like
dry.
But you dry your mouth when you suck. It's too hard, and you get a bit like, oh, I'm refreshed, but really thirsty again. And you need another orange, just a never-ending cycle. I'd say substitute for Jaffa cake, maybe, but not too many though. That's the advice.
Not too many. Yeah, you don't want like eight.
No, yeah, that's ridiculous.
That'd be overkill. Why isn't the fact that Ferguson used Jaffa cakes at Man United on all their packaging? Like, surely they'd sell.
That's a great point, actually.
Millions. Like, if they were like, yeah. By the way, guys, like, these won them a treble.
Well, yeah, because I remember, like, Rio Ferdinand always used to come out, like, with a Jaffa cake still in his mouth, not taking them in the beginning, and then...
And then he didn't turn up for that drugs test.
Buying Jaffa cake.
What thickens? I've got another quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you wear your socks, above or below the knee?
Above the knee.
Above the knee?
You've got... Above the knee would mean... No,
that's, you know, Thierry Henry brought that into fashion.
You roll them all the way up, you've got down the thigh level, but you fold a bit down.
Fold a bit down, so just sort of just below knee point.
Yeah, below knee point, I think. If you wear them down like regular socks, you're fucking stupid.
You're playing a loser's game, aren't you?
You're fucking...
Yeah.
All the way up, down there.
Yeah, don't show me shin pads. That's like showing weakness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it looks fucking weird on photos.
No, I agree. We'll be getting the consensus once I've gone through every guest. You know, we'll know the average.
I will fight everyone who disagrees.
Okay, good. So I'll be able to offer that up. By the way, if you answer this, James Dunn will fight
Thanks you.
Yeah.
I will fight everyone who's wrong.
Okay, that's good. But the thing, like, I think the main object of this podcast is that I'm going to build a team here, Dunn, basically.
Right, okay.
So all the guests that I'm bringing on, I'm going to get together in an 11-a-side team. You played left side of defence, so basically, where, you know, are we talking left back? Are we talking left centre back? Where are you thinking of your position? Obviously, you know, you're the first person I've interviewed, so,
yeah,
I mean,
so
every spot is open.
I could pick striker, mate.
You could pick striker, but you've got to argue why you should go there. You don't just get in.
Okay.
This is a tough team to get into.
Okay.
I mean, I know you play for the Corries, but your CV hasn't, you know, you might get appendicitis.
Mate, you can't get it twice.
I have faith.
Okay, right. Slightly defensive midfield.
Oh,
now.
Why? Okay.
Now.
We don't even know the formation yet. This is interesting.
Okay, because the thing is, Cameron, we haven't talked about my football manager career, and that's another chat. What I'm suggesting, I reckon at my physical peak now, I've probably not got the pace to be a fullback. I've not got the football control.
You're not up and down.
I think against someone who's like, you know, if we're going to go against, it depends on the team. You know, if we're going against someone a bit rough tumble,
be playing Real Madrid.
I'd advise not anywhere but the fucking field. But I'm reckoning with all my skills, because let's go for someone a bit defensive minded. I got a bit of tackle.
Got a bit of tackling, yeah.
But I've got a bit of passing, and I take a lot of inspiration, as everyone should do, from Andrea Pirlo, a man who's proven that you don't really have to push yourself to physical limits.
Okay.
As long as you've got a solid beard.
Yeah.
look like you smoke 20 a day.
Check.
Which I do. and can pull off a nice. Look like a nice man.
Okay.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of like, I think.
So you're backing yourself for the Pirlo holding the field
deep,
role.
Deep player.
Deep line playmaker.
Yeah. But in the Joe Allen mould of where I just do little short passes. Possession play. I'm cool under pressure.
Okay, that's good.
I am. So I do stand up comedy.
Yeah.
So I'm cool under pressure.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure when you're emceeing a gig, you're on stage.
Yeah.
A lot of eyes on you.
Yeah.
But I deliver. Most times. I also work in a bar, so I have to serve a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people around me. I'm very crowded situation, midfield, very crowded area.
That's true, yeah. I can deal. Spatially aware.
I know where the pint is, I know where the mixers are. And I'm also, but also, Cam, the thing is, I'm not just any ordinary barman. When you order a gin and tonic, I will put two limes on that, put the limes up. I'm a classy.
Oh,
girl.
Okay.
So I can spot the classy pass. Do you know what I mean? And this is why I reckon a little bit of holding midfielder. Not many. I've got a run in me occasionally, I reckon.
I reckon
I could do a, like, you know when Colo Torre charges?
Yeah.
I got a Colo charge in me.
That's pretty good.
Like, is that,
we
that's
can
like,
do with that.
That's like, that's like one of those, like, you know, like when you have like a Street Fighter, you got like a special move, you know, you use once.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point in the game, if you just shouted choo choo,
you could go on the train holding midfield.
You may wheeze a bit more than you do back in the day, however,
than a standard coal train.
yeah, smokes more than standard coal. I'm not like a modern diesel. I'm more like Toby the Tramp. It's like
okay, that's pretty great. Well, as like you're the first name on the team sheet so far, that means you're also the captain.
I'm not first.
Week by week, I'm gonna be. Basically, every guest is going to be trying to fight to get the captaincy off you. They'll have, you know, if their argument is better for why they should be captain,
okay,
they'll be getting it, and it'll be, we'll see who's captain by the end. But
right.
Why should you be captain?
Why should I be captain? My story is very much okay. Let me tell you about a man, a man who, on paper, didn't look like have a great career, didn't really achieve much, may have had the odd achievement here and there. A man called Danny Murphy.
Oh, okay, we're back to Murph.
Back to the old Murphy here. Danny Murphy never really had a spectacular career, let's be honest. He was in a team, you didn't notice him. However, he worked hard.
Yeah.
He cared about football.
Yeah.
When you gave him the ball, he'd always say thank you.
Is that true? Do you have any evidence to back this up?
I don't know.
Can we go through the footage, please?
Can you prove me wrong? There you go, mate.
That would be really tiring. Just every time. People are shouting man on, he's like, thank you. Just leaning over and being very like.
But if he didn't say it verbally, he'd say it in his mind.
Okay.
Because he loved the ball. And whenever he would pass the ball, he'd say in his mind, Godspeed.
Because he'd
because he'd care where that ball went. He wouldn't be the star. He didn't need to be the star.
Oh, okay.
He was the workhorse. And I promise that me as a little boy of the Crinder Corries, no one was happy when I played. No one was happy when I was on the team sheet. However, Ashley Tillier has got one of probably about 233 goals due to little Jimmy Dunn. And that is a story about when you just boot a ball fucking hard enough, maybe you could achieve something. And maybe, Cam, we can be heroes just for one day.
I mean, that's an impressive argument, I have to say. You've done pretty well.
Also,
there.
I mean, to make fucking omelette. And I can bring Jaffa Cakes.
Okay,
so,
well, Jaffa, if you can bring the Jaffa Cakes, that'd be handy.
Jaffa Cake budget on me, mate. Fucking
yeah,
win-win.
That's pretty good. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, and also, you know, You were made captain of your rugby team because you didn't fight anyone.
I didn't fight anyone. Oh, I should have fucking said that.
Well, there we go. But yeah, that's good. That's pretty good. I think that's pretty much it. I think. Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show.
No worries.
Yeah.
Oh, when you say thanks for coming to the show, as if I've got here, I literally sleep in the room next to you.
But thanks. you could have just stayed in your room.
You know what? I could have. I've got a load of Jaffa cakes in there.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's it from us. Say bye, Dunn.
Bye, Dunn.
Bye.
James Dunn, captain of the team. Well done to James Dunn. Hopefully he'll be leading all our guests on from here. You can subscribe. iTunes is a thing. I hope people still use it. Put it on there. That'd be good. You could tell your friends about it. You know, if you feel like you've wasted half an hour of your life, you can tell your enemies about it and make them suffer as well. It's all accessible. Next week we have Dan Kiss on the show talking about 90s Caerphilly. It's a belter. See you then.